today, 31st of May, is the Sunday following May 27. And May 27 is the International Children's Day, also marked here in Nigeria. And so in New Covenant Church, Nigeria, we have a practice of honoring our children the Sunday following May 27. And so today is Children's Day. Children, put your hands together for the Lord. I would like to congratulate every child, every teenager. Thank God for preserving you to see this year's Children's Day. I pray that the Lord will keep you. Pray that the Lord will bless you. I pray that you will be greater than your parents. Pray that you will love God and fulfill the purpose why God brought you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to mark 2020 Children's Day, here in New Covenant Church Agodi, we have organized a children's quiz. And it's on our website, nccagodicenter.org. The quiz is open to three categories of children who are not up to 16 years. In other words, by the end of this year, you will yet be less than 16 years. You may be 15 years, 11 months, and 29 days, but you shouldn't be 16 years by December 31. You may be in these categories. One, children, teenagers who are members of New Covenant Church Agodi. Category B, those who are members of New Covenant Church in other centers. And category C, those who are not members of New Covenant Church at all. You are welcome to participate in this online quiz. Immediately after this broadcast, the quiz will be available on our website, nccagodicenter.org. And winners will be published on the same website and will be contacted on this Tuesday, that's day after tomorrow, and you will receive your prizes before Friday this week. I can assure you that the church has made arrangement for handsome prizes for every child or teenager who submits the first correct answer. Children quiz online at nccagodicenter.org. Today's message is in two parts. In the first part, I'll be speaking to the children. And the second part, I'll be speaking to the parents and parents in waiting. And after the online service, I will be taking some prayer points. I imagine that the prayer session will last for at least 30 minutes. So please don't be in a hurry to go after we go offline. Prayer points will be shown on your screen. Quickly write down or type or note or snap the prayer points. They'll be good for you to pray for at least 30 minutes after we have gone offline. And so I would like to address the children first. Children, are you there listening to me? I want to thank God for the children, teenage choir. Didn't they do well? Let's put our hands together for the teenage choir of New Covenant Church Agodi Center. They led us in praise and worship today. And so I would like to speak to you children from the scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. I will repeat. Children, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. So this is for children, teenagers. God is asking you to remember God, to remember Him as your Creator. Now, not tomorrow, before difficult days come. Other translations translate difficult days as evil days. Some translate as days of trouble. Not necessarily because you will have calamities and sorrows and problems. The difficult days come because, one, when you grow older, you will have responsibilities. Now, many of you children, you don't have responsibilities. Your parents give you food, they give you clothing, they pay your school fees, they provide a house for you, meet your needs. So you do not have much responsibility now. But when you grow older, you have responsibility of going to work, earning money and spending your money, figuring how you are going to spend your money. You will have responsibility of marriage, taking care of a wife or taking care of a husband. You have responsibility of taking care of your own children. You have responsibility of possessions and properties. Oh, this may look like blessings, but they have concomitant responsibilities. You also have the responsibilities of parenting. I know a man who had two children, and the first one was in the university. While he was in the university, always had the parents' car to use as a boy. Visit friends, take daddy out, take mommy out, go to church with one of the cars of the family. After the boy finished university, the father told him, now, XYZ, I give you this car, but you have to fuel it and maintain it from now. Shortly after that, one day, the parent saw that the boy did not take the car out. He went out with public transport, came back with public transport, and he asked, what happened to the car I gave you? Why didn't you go out with it? Why did you prefer to go out with public transport? He said, Dad, I'm watching my pocket concerning the fuel. I've bought fuel in it that I will need throughout this week. So I didn't take it out today because I don't want to buy fuel. When the dad was buying fuel and paying for fuel, the boy had no qualms taking the car out anytime because somebody will foot the bill. But when the responsibility for fueling the car devolved on the boy, he chose when to go out and when not to go out. That's the type of responsibility I'm talking to you about, children. That's what I believe the Bible has in mind when it says, when difficult days will come. Now, to a large extent, there is no difficulty. Apart from reading and passing your exam, you have no difficulty. So God is asking you, children, remember your Creator now. In other words, take advantage of your childhood. Now, when you are a child, you have advantage of time. You have a long future ahead of you. Two, you can avoid mistakes that adults have made. You can learn to do it right the first time. You don't need to learn from your mistakes. You can learn from others' mistakes. Also, you have a head start as a child who knows the Lord. So I'm asking you, my dear young ones, on the occasion of today's Children's Day, do you know your Creator now? Do you know your Creator personally? Do you have a personal relationship with God through His Son Jesus? Have you ever accepted Jesus into your life as your Savior and as your Lord? Let me tell you a story, my dear young ones. One day I was in church, and the preacher was preaching. And I had the Spirit of God said to me as a child, as a youth, He said, listen, I have no grandchildren. That God does not have any grandchild. Told me, you can't say because your parents are born again, automatically you are born again. You cannot continue to rely and be carried on the faith of your parents. You need to know God personally. So children, do you know God? My young ones, Have you ever had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus? Or perhaps you go to church just because your parents go to church. You go to church just because everyone around you goes to church, but you don't know the Lord personally as Savior, as Lord. Today I want to give you the opportunity. God does not have a grandchild. He says, remember now your Creator before the difficult days come. Today is that now. Do not delay. Do not postpone your day of salvation. If you are ready to accept Jesus personally now and take the advantage of the head start, knowing Him early, so that you will avoid mistakes as you grow up, I want to give you that opportunity now. I will lead you in this prayer. Just say it after me. Are you ready, children? Please say after me. Dear Jesus, I accept today that you do not have any grandchildren, that I need to become your child personally. I don't have to rely on the faith of my parents. Jesus, I accept I'm a sinner, and you have died for my sin. Please forgive me my sin. Wash me with your blood. I invite you today to come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now let me pray with you. Father, thank you for your word says there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. I pray for my young ones and even some of the adults who have given their hearts to you online today. You said with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. They have believed and they have confessed. I ask according to your word that you would have mercy. Write their names in the book of life. Save them and give them your spirit. Keep them to the end. Thank you, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, children. Now let's go to the parents. Now I would like to address you, parents. And parents-to-be. Parents in waiting. You are still a bachelor. You are a spinster. But one day in future, you hope to get married. This message is also for you. Or you are married, you are yet to have children. Let me assure you that God is faithful. He's going to give you your own children. And before we round off this broadcast, I'll be praying for those who are trusting the Lord for the fruit of the womb. Let's open in our Bible to Psalm 127 and we'll read verses 3, 4, and 5. Psalm 127, verses 3, 4, and 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Hallelujah. In this passage, the Bible says children are an heritage from the Lord, and at the fruit of the womb is a reward that God gives. It says, like the arrows in the hand of a warrior. In those days, they didn't use guns, AK-47 rockets to fight wars. They fought wars with arrows. He said, children are like the bullets that the parents shoot to win a war. He said, happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. In other words, picture a family in a gated house. Enemy comes to the gate, he wants to come in. When the man comes, the parent of the house comes to speak to the enemy. Who are you looking for? This is not your home. You are not welcomed here. The parent has confidence to speak because his children are there as bullets. Children are so important. But today we'd like to concentrate on verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. So that scripture emphasizes the fact that children are God's heritage. And the topic of our message is children are God's heritage. Children are God's heritage. This scripture emphasizes the fact that children are a heritage from the Lord. In other words, children are owned by God. They belong to God. They are just given to parents as gifts. Another word for heritage. Other translations call that word heritage gifts. Children are gifts from the owner of the gift, who is God himself. And so as parents, you are but caretakers. Children are not your own in that sense. You are custodians. You are God's representative for the children. God has given you the children to take care of on his behalf. And for those of us who are middle age and past middle age, that reality will have dawned on you that really you have a responsibility for your children for the first one third of their lives. The second third of their lives, they leave home to get married, to pursue their careers. They leave home. And the last of the three thirds of their lives, the last third, you are old. They are now taking care of you. So really, you have that responsibility for the average one third of the lifetime of the children. And so what are your main roles as parents of these children? The main roles you have as parents of God's heritage, custodians, God's representative, caretakers of God's heritage. Number one is provision. God wants you to be a channel through which he will provide the needs of these children. The Bible has assured us that even if young lions lack and suffer hunger, Psalm 34 verse 10 said, those who seek the Lord will not be in want of any good thing. Young lions may lack and suffer deprivation, but we believe we belong to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has the assurance, he has given us the assurance to provide for us. I found that as a parent, when our daughter was at home, that sometimes when I'm asking for things for myself, they don't come that easily. But when it has to do with the children, God has a way of answering and answering on time. That convinced me that God is not just interested in me. He's interested in me, in the children he has given me to take care of. So parents, trust the Lord for provision for your children. But you also have to be prudent. You also have to plan ahead for the children. You also have to save ahead for the children, for the type of life you want to give the children, save ahead. Get your priorities right, because you are the major channel through which God will provide for this heritage. Your first role is provision. The second role is protection. That is, God expects you to shield them from danger. And danger comes in different shades and forms. Danger of people, dangerous people, bad friends. Bible says bad friendship or bad companionship corrupts good manners. One of the protection you have to give to your children is to know who their friends are. Shield them from friends that can influence them negatively. Shield them from movies and things they can watch that can corrupt them. Shield them from places that are not godly, and protect them physically. You have the second main responsibility to protect these children. When I was growing up, as young as I was maybe about 6, 7, 8. In the street I grew up, we had a neighbor. The parents were traders. they will leave home 7 a.m. or before 7 a.m. in the morning and will not come back until 7 p.m. or after 7 p.m. in the evening, 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. And they leave these children who were my friends, 6, 8, some of them, the younger ones were as young as 3, 4, from 7 to 7. Many times these my friends on our street will wear only knickers and shorts, no shirt, and they will play on the street for 12 hours, from 7 to 7. The parents will give them, when they're leaving, money for breakfast, money for lunch. Children, after playing for some time, at 10 a.m. will go and buy food, eat, rest, start to play, and at 2 p.m. buy lunch, start to play, until their parents come at 7. As a child, I used to wonder which type of parents were these. When our own parents, by the grace of God, kept us indoors, made sure we did house chores, made sure we studied our books. These were parents who didn't care what happened to their children for the rest of the day. And they would come back at 7, by 10 p.m. they were in bed. What the children did during the day, they didn't know. That is irresponsibility of the highest order. Parents, your work, your business, not even your ministry, is not an excuse not to protect, to care for your children who are God's heritage that He has given to you to care for. Children are a heritage from the Lord. I said your roles, your responsibilities as parents are: one, provision; two, protection. Next, number three, is instruction. Instruction. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Proverbs 22 verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. As God's representative, as God's caretakers for these children, a major role and responsibility we have is to instruct these children. Parents, I'm sure many of you know, but let me remind you. And if you don't know, let me inform you. The mind of children is blank, is empty. It's like a blank canvas. Nothing has ever been painted on it. It is whoever paints on it first that gets to that child. Whatever they learn first, they have learned it, because they know nothing. God has given you responsibility to paint on the canvas of their minds. But many of us slack and allow friends, allow television, allow internet, allow neighbors to paint corruption, to paint evil on their minds. And then we'll be praying and fasting much later. Children have no experience. That's why they can be bold to try things. They have never failed before. Children are so naive. They have no prejudice. They don't know who is an enemy. They play with everybody. They don't know who hates them. They don't know who loves them. They assume everybody loves them. Children are inquisitive. They want to learn. You have gone home. You have gone out from home, and the television is on. My dad is not in. What is talking inside of that television? I want to see. I want to hear that a child broke the television screen before to see the person speaking inside the television. That's a child for you. They are inquisitive. They want to know. I'm sure you have experienced that you went out and you came back and you saw the settee in your living room torn with blade. The child looks at the fabric, looks at the leather. This thing is soft. What makes it soft? I should find out. They will tear it. and expose it to see the foam inside. One parent told me many years ago, I got to their house and their house was untidy. The chairs were not good. He said, I promise these children, you spoilt these chairs, I will not repair them. It will always remind you that you spoil these chairs until you leave home. That comes from their inquisitiveness, which is a very good trait. And also, children are very quick to learn. So children, parents, don't abdicate your responsibilities to instruct these children. Many expect the school to teach these children. Many expect the children's church, Sunday school, to teach the children. No, the school or the Sunday school can only add to what you have taught them. You are the primary instructors. And what do you instruct them on? One, you teach them the word of God. Have family devotion on a daily basis. Don't get tired of it. You do not know. When they are faced with a crossroad in life, when they leave, someday God will remind them what they learned at age 7, at age 6, in the family devotion with dad and mom. Don't be tired. Keep on instructing them from God's word. Let them study, learn with the word, and also lead family devotion. Many parents own family devotion. You do it 7 days of the week. Why don't you give opportunity to the children? You are going to take the family devotion tomorrow. Read this passage and you are going to share and lead us in prayer. Teach them to learn the word of God, to understand the word of God. Teach them to pray. You are responsible for instructing them in the way of the Lord through the word of God. It is not limited to that. You are responsible to teach them morals. Some basic values in life are better taught by parents. How to greet people. Let every child know that when you see somebody, good morning, sir. Good morning, ma'am. How to be polite. Ma, please, can I see that book? Add please to a statement. Little things like that, teach them about humility and politeness, which will serve them when they are grown up and they are relating in the workplace. You see some people in the workplace, you see some people, unfortunately, in the church, they have no home training. The way they talk, the way they get annoyed. Apparently, they were not properly taught by their parents. There's not much the church can do. There's not much the school can do if you shirk your responsibilities of instructing aright your children. Teach them morals. Teach them not to beg. There was a boy many years ago, he's a grown boy now, that when I met him and his parents, he used to come to say, Pastor, please can I have 50 naira? Pastor, please can I have 100 naira? I told him not to beg and I called the parents. Your child, and the parents were well to do. They didn't have any lack. But that child was going to start to embarrass the children by asking for others for money. Let your children know that it's bad to beg. Let your children know when to make noise, when not to make noise. You see some children in church, the message is going on, and they are running around. Apparently, they were not well taught at home. It's not the church that would teach you to reverence God in church. It's not the church. It is parents. I remember when our daughter was growing up, when she runs around in church, the mother just needs to look aside. One glance, she falls into place immediately. Oh, parents, instruct morals to your children. Also teach them. I said, teach them the word of God. Teach them morals. Also teach them by example. Be a role model. Your action can preach more messages than your precepts. Let them see you the way the mom reverences, respects the husband. the way the dad honors and respects the wife. Darling, please can I have that water? Daddy, your food is ready. All these children watch. Somebody told me in the last 1 year, because of what I experienced in my parents' home, I don't want to get married. A lady, almost 30. She doesn't want to. She's afraid of marriage because she saw civil war in her parents' home. Let's teach them by example. As I'm talking, I remember three things that I learned in my parents' house as a child. When I was learning, it was difficult. I didn't know. But today, I thank God. I didn't learn in school. I didn't learn in church, although I was brought up in the church. But I learned them at home. You want to hear? Those three things, they will never leave me by the grace of God. One, I learned godliness from my parents. Two, I learned contentment. Whatever the parents are not able to give you, you don't envy others. You don't take from any other person. I learned that as a kid. Number three, I learned diligence. And by the grace of God, these three have been part of me for my lifetime. And I pray that God will help me to be able to pass it on to the coming generation. I'm talking about our roles as parents. One, I've talked about you as a parent, ensuring that you provide. Two, you protect. Number three, you instruct. Also, under instruction, there's a difference between discipline and punishment. Punishment is what you do to make a child suffer. Whereas, discipline is inflicting sufficient pain on a child to make the child learn. Punishment is an end in itself. Discipline is a means to correct, to making the child to learn. It's not wickedness. No wonder the Bible says in Proverbs 23 verses 13 and 14. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Discipline your child. Don't say, I've suffered in my life. I don't want my children to suffer. Sometimes you need to deprive them of some things to make them learn. You have a responsibility to discipline your children, even if you are rich and well-to-do. Let them learn deprivation. Let them learn how to be contented. Let them know how to be prudent. Let them know how to manage money wisely. Finally, under instruction, there's a difference between inheritance and legacy. Inheritance and legacy. Inheritance is what you leave for your child. Wealth, bank account, houses, cars, investments for your children. This is an inheritance. Legacy is what you leave in the child. Inheritance, you leave it for the child. Legacy, you leave it in the child. In other words, the values that he has imbibed from you, the training he has gotten while he was at home. We have responsibilities, dear parents, to instruct our children. Finally, talking about the roles we have as parents, and I want to limit myself to four. The first is provision. The second is protection. The third is instruction. And lastly, intercession. As parents, I'm sure many of us will know, but if you don't know, you are the first bastion of spiritual protection for your child through intercession. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, my little children for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Although Paul was writing here to his spiritual children, it relates also to our biological children. after we have given birth to them, he said, I labor in birth again. You need to labor spiritually in intercession for these parents. The scripture we started with, Psalm 127, 3, 4, and 5, talks about children being like arrow in the hand of the mighty warrior. When you shoot an arrow, it goes straight. It has a destination. It has an objective. It has a vision. It has a goal. So your children are supposed to be. They are supposed to have a goal in life, accomplish God's purpose, bring glory to the name of the Lord. You do that on your knees. Parents, don't be weak in prayers. Do you know what? As Christian parents, the devil wants to disqualify you through your parents. He can't get you, but he will get your children. Why? It is clear in the Bible, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in Titus, that one of the things that qualifies a parent who is a Christian to have a leadership position in the church is to keep his house in order, letting his children be in subjection. So what the enemy wants to do is to disgrace your God. Going to church every day, you see your children misbehaving. You see, you can't even become a leader because your children are not under control. Oh, you war on your knees. Lord, these ones are your heritage. They are like the arrow in the hand of the Almighty. They will not turn right or turn left to depart from your way. They will go straight to where you have sent them. The purpose for which you brought them shall be fulfilled. You do that in strategic intercession. Don't be lazy. Parents, pray and intercede continuously and tirelessly for your children. Never be tired until they will become a praise on the earth. You and your children, you are going to be for signs and for wonders in the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't forget, I said, after we go offline, you will be having 30 minutes to pray. At that time, the prayer points will be displayed on your screen and it will be left there for about 5 minutes. So, first of all, take time to quickly put down the prayer points or snap it if that will be faster, or type it or write it down, because they are about a page, and then you'll be able to now spend the next 30 minutes to pray for yourself and for your children. But before we go and end the service, I would like to pray for parents in waiting, those who are married, who are experiencing delay in having children, either because the wife conceives and miscarries, or there is no conception at all. The Bible assures in Exodus 23:26, that no one shall cast a young or be barren in our land. It says the number of the days of your pregnancy the Lord will fulfill. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 14, it says not even your livestock, your dog at home, or your chicken or your goat will be barren. That's an assurance. I would like to pray for you. I'd like to pray with you. If you are waiting on the Lord for the fruit of the womb, or you want to stand in for somebody waiting on the Lord for the fruit of the womb, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that you have sent. I pray for my beloved brothers and sisters who have before now and up till now experienced a delay in having children. You said children are your heritage. The fruit of the womb is a reward you give. Only you can give children. The Bible says, Obed was born because you gave her to Ruth. The husband, Boaz, entered into Ruth, but you gave Ruth conception. I pray for my sisters, I pray for my brothers, that you will touch their physical bodies. Whatever may be responsible for barrenness and infertility, you who made these bodies from the beginning, touch the bodies, heal them, restore them. Let the spirit of fruitfulness come upon them, that this time next year, if Jesus tarries, they will carry their own babies, biological babies, physically to your glory. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. So let me pray for you as we round off. I pray for every parent. I pray for grace to take care of their children. I pray, dear Lord, that you will supply all that they need to take care of their children. I pray that you grant them grace to train their children in the way of the Lord. And I pray for every child that they will be obedient to instruction, that they will love God and show praise to God. Thank you, dear Father. I pray in Jesus' name. To parents and children, I say, Happy Children's Day. God bless you.